This is Fresh Air. We're going to conclude our series of interviews with current Emmy nominees with the creators and stars of the Hulu series Pen 15, Maya Erskine and Anna Conkle. They're nominated in the category Outstanding Writing in a Comedy Series. Pen 15 is about the middle school years, one of the most awkward periods of life. I don't know if many people would want to go back and revisit those years, but that's kind of what Erskine and Conkle did. They're both in their early 30s, but in Pen 15, set in the year 2000, they play seventh grade versions of themselves. The rest of the show's middle schoolers are played by actual teens. Pen 15 explores what it's like for Maya and Anna to deal with the problems associated with the middle school years, like puberty and mean girls. The situations are embarrassing, poignant, and very funny. Many of the storylines come from Maya Erskine and Anna Conkle's own experiences. They spoke with Fresh Air producer Sam Brigger. They started with a clip from the show. Anna and Maya are having a sleepover after Anna has just had her first kiss with her first boyfriend, Brendan, and it was not how she fantasized it would be. Maya asks her about it.
And then, like, were your lips close together when you guys were standing close together?
Yeah. And then they touched.
That's like romantic.
No, it wasn't. Yep, it literally wasn't at all.
Why?
He put his lips like all the way around mine.
Ew.
And like sucked.
Ew.
It's not funny.
Wait, and then what? Was that it? Like she just sucked?
No, and then he put his tongue in my mouth and he like did like a torpedo cat tongue and like drilled my mouth.
Like what was it like?
It was like what did he
do with it? Ew!
Yeah,
stop!
I can't. I wish I could.
What did you do with your tongue? Did you do it back or did
it was
just like
pinned back? Like it was in trouble, you know?
That's crazy.
I know. It was awful.
I'm sorry. Well, at least you've, like, had your first kiss, you know?
I wish that I had it.
Say that.
I really do. Everything's just different. I don't know. I just have to break up with him, so.
Really?
Yeah. He's not the Brendan that bought us snacks at the bowling alley, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, the Brendan that drilled the back of my throat with his tongue. So. What's up to you to get the next boyfriend?
That's a scene from the Hulu show Pen 15, created and co-starring my guests Maya Erskine and Anna Conkle. Welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having us.
You know, those early teen years are such a strange time, and you have these bodies that are starting to sprout into adulthood, but you have minds that are probably not ready to handle that yet, and you're having to cope with these more adult situations. And the thing that makes it so worse is that your emotions are just so intense. Like, everything is just saturated and overwhelming. Like, just the way that teens respond to music. Like, it's so important, and it's like their theme music. So everything feels so consequential. And, you know, and then they're thinking about romance. So, like, everything is a powder keg.
Yeah, and there's so many misconceptions, too.
Right.
It's like, in real life, Anna, me, I thought kissing was going to be the ultimate feeling of romance. And, like, that's all I wanted. Like, I was not interested in sexuality at the time. I just wanted to, like, hold someone's hand and fall in love and kiss like Zach and Kelly on Saved by the Bell. So when the real version happened, which was just this weird tongue, like, just drilling me, it was a shattering of expectations, and I think that's true in a lot of different ways, but you're fronting as though you either enjoy it or you get it or whatever. And there's a lot of sadness and humor that I think that comes with that.
Yeah, I think you create these beliefs of, you know, things lasting forever, like your friendships. I will be friends with this person till the day I die, and not realizing that things will change because you might go into different classes than your best friend, or you start developing different tastes than your best friend. It's
different trauma.
Yeah.
So, Anna, that scene was based on your first kiss, right?
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, and what I found out recently, and Maya had a really similar experience, is I went home after my real first kiss, and I had been looking forward to it for so many years, and I was one of the last girls that I knew to do it. So I remember just being like, okay, I just have to do this, and I have to get out of the way. And then I did, and then I went home, and I told my mom, who I didn't tell anything to, and I cried. And I was like, I never want to do that again. Yeah.
Yeah, I had the same experience where I was a late bloomer with boys. And when I had my first kiss, I had the same expectation of it going to be this romantic movie-like kiss. And again, I don't know what's with these boys drilling their tongues.
Yeah, what are they watching?
I don't know what they're watching.
I think that's what
they're watching something. But yeah. I cried after as well, because I thought, in my mind at the time, I thought, oh, I guess that's what kissing is like. That's how kissing will be for the rest of my life.
Right. Yeah.
Could you describe what you guys were like in seventh grade? I mean, are these characters pretty similar to how you were?
I was the same and different. I think that the version of me in Pen 15 was more me in fourth and fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I think in real life, by seventh grade, I learned to hide the things that I realized that made me, you know, a target.
Mm-hmm.
In fourth and fifth grade, you know, I would tell people not to cheat. I would tell people not to swear. I don't know. I was just, like, generally annoying. but it came from who I really am and always will be, which is, you know, there's a good and bad to it. And I think as I got older, yeah, I just learned that I'm going to keep some of those things to myself. I'm going to adjust where I put my paper so you don't cheat off my paper. But I'm not going to tell you not to. You know, things like that. You just learn to cope a little bit more. But I can be, like, delusionally optimistic, and that can be good and bad. And so that's just still with me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I was full of contradictions. I was incredibly insecure and then brazenly confident at moments, delusionally so. I was incredibly whiny as a kid, and I think that comes through a lot as a way to get things. And I think my fear of letting go of childhood was a huge issue for me. I wanted to be an adult, yet I was really scared of losing my innocence, especially in front of my parents, because I equated innocence with love. So I thought if I maintained this childlike self or identity, then my parents would continue to love me the way they've loved me all these years. So that's a weird misconception that I created in my head.
Yeah, and that's played out in the show where Maya sort of becomes almost babyish in front of her parents.
Yeah, that still exists to this day at 31. I'm sad to say that I revert really easily in front of my parents, and I'm sure there's something that they're gaining from that too, which is something I'm exploring.
Sure.
Of why does this happen? Not to put the blame on them, but I'm like, why do you guys enjoy this?
It probably
brings them
back too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you guys feel targets of bullies at that age?
I wouldn't necessarily call them outright bullies, but I had friends that would put me down a lot, and I didn't really comprehend what they were doing until years later. But yeah, I wouldn't say necessarily bullies that
outright
would...
bullies, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a weird thing happen where... there was kind of a cycle in my school where the older girls would harass the younger girls. And that was even more in high school. But in middle school, there was a rumor that went around about me. And that followed me for, the next, really till I graduated high school.
That's awful.
And with it came this kind of sexualization of me that I wasn't ready for. Like, I was very much a prude at the time, you know, quote unquote. And I was labeled as a slut. And in other ways, like, I was simultaneously accepted. I mean, I had, groups of friends and had found my place in high school, but that followed me.
You were saying that you felt like you were accepted too at the same time.
Yeah.
And in my memory, I wasn't accepted. But when I talk to people who went to my middle school, they always say, you seemed so happy, like you were friends with everyone and you were doing okay while I was going through this private misery, I guess. And I looked in my yearbook recently and I got overflowing messages of love. But in each message, it was you are the cutest Asian I've ever met. Oh my God, I love you so much. You're the cutest Asian, Maya. Oh, you know, that was the majority of these messages in my yearbook. And I'm sure I took that in as a kid in my heart of, oh, no one likes me for me.
Well, you addressed that in one of the episodes called Posh, which has a really funny preface where you guys are doing like a public service announcement at your school. And there's like five girls. Some of them are like the scarier, popular girls. And you're going to be the Spice Girls, but you're like, you're now elderly and you're suffering from osteoporosis. And then you drink milk, which makes your bones feel better. And then you can dance, right?
So yes.
It's very funny. But then, you know, Maya wants to be Posh Spice. But these three other girls, not including Anna, says, well, no, you should be Scary Spice. And for people who don't remember the Spice Girls, Scary Spice is the only black member of that group. And they're like, you should be Scary Spice because you're tan and you look the most like her. And Maya's, the character Maya's like, well, okay, I guess. And then things start getting really bad. Like the popular girl's like, you should bring us the milk because you should be the servant. And then they start calling you Guido the gardener. They're sort of like free associating like all the racist things that they can think of. Mm. And then, you know, your character doesn't know what to do because it seems like she's not totally clear what's going on. She's like, this is uncomfortable, but maybe I'll play along because the girls are laughing, so maybe I'm funny. She starts acting like how she thinks they want her to act, and it's really uncomfortable. And that's true, right, Maya? That's your experience, isn't it?
That did happen to me a lot, and I would play into that role really easily to become the jester, and I would make characters up and imitate my mom with a thick Japanese accent, and it would cause kids to laugh. And I thought, okay, I'm doing good. I'm a funny person because they're laughing at me, but really they were laughing at my mom's accent, the thick accent. And I didn't put that together as a kid, and it never penetrated me the way we show it in the show at the time, because you're just trying to survive. So yeah. I think we were trying to show, you know, a lot in 30 minutes, but what is that like when it's kind of hitting the person? And what is it like when you first realize for the first time that you're not like your other friends? You're not white. You don't sound the same. You don't look the same, even though this whole time you've held this belief that you are the same person, especially as your best friend. And so that moment of recognition in the mirror of, oh, I don't have eyes like Anna or those girls. Why don't I? I wish I did. And that hitting harder. That was something that I don't think I fully explored till we started writing this show.
Do you remember that first time when you felt that way?
I think I remember when I went over to a friend's house and we were putting makeup on, and when they would put eyeliner on, they had, you know, double eyelids, and so you could see the skin above the eyeliner, but when I would put the eyeliner on, it covered my whole eyelid. And oh, I'll get emotional thinking about it. Anna's crying too. And not having it look the same was such, it made me hate myself. I hated my eyes. I hated that I didn't have thick double eyelids like my friends, because that's all I saw around me. And I didn't have any ideals of beauties to look up to, really, when I was a kid growing up, of Asian beauties. Oh, Anna, so
no,
sweet.
No, don't make it. I'm
sorry.
So sorry. Yeah, it's not fair.
Watching you go through that in the scene and the girls talking to you that way was extremely moving. And, you know, it's a bunch of white girls, and I'm one of them, and I'm the best friend, and I'm not saying everybody stop. Mm-hmm. it's a mirror of then, and it's a mirror of now, in the sense of, you know, I've been raised from a small girl in real life in a very liberal, progressive, you know, I went to a Unitarian church, and the way that diversity was dealt with was like, we should all be colorblind. We're all the same. And that's as far as it went. And I think that you can see in the episode the negative results of that, really, of Anna just going, well, we're the same. That's just funny. And that's just humor. And something feels off, but like, it doesn't, it's not important.
And the other thing I wanted to say was just reiterating how important it was to not vilify those girls, because they weren't aware fully of what they were doing, that it was somehow ingrained in them. And I was so grateful that we got to write an ending where Anna acknowledges how Maya feels, that I don't think I ever received that in life. Mm-hmm. So to have your friend say, you're right, I don't know what it's like to be like you.
You're right.
Right.
And I'm sorry.
Well, Maya Erskine and Anna Conkle, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you so much.
Maya Erskine and Anna Conkle spoke with Fresh Air producer Sam Brigger. Erskine and Conkle are the creators and stars of Pen 15. They're nominated for an Emmy for Outstanding Writing in a Comedy Series. And that concludes our series of interviews with Emmy nominees. We'll find out who the winners are when the ceremony is broadcast Sunday, September 22nd. Tomorrow on Fresh Air, my guest will be guitarist James Burton. He played with Elvis Presley from Elvis's 1969 comeback performances in Vegas until Elvis's death in 1977. A new box set has been released commemorating the 50th anniversary of that comeback. Burton not only plays on it, he assembled the band. He's played with so many rock and country performers. He plays the famous guitar line on the hit Susie Q. He played in Ricky Nelson's band for many years, including on the show Ozzie and Harriet. He played with Merle Haggard, Buffalo Springfield, Graham Parsons, Emmylou Harris, and did a lot of dates with Phil Spector. I hope you'll join us. We're going up.